The global stock market sell-off continues.
You could actually call what we're seeing somewhat of a healthy pause. Nothing goes up in a linear fashion.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. Stocks in Asia and Europe have continued to fall sharply after American indices tumbled more than 4% yesterday. Japan and Hong Kong fell about 5% amid predictions of higher global interest rates. Some European markets have lost all the gains they made over the past 10 months. Catherine Young, the Equity Investment Director at Fidelity in Hong Kong, told me what's fueling the sell-off.
In terms of the actual market movements we have been witnessing so far this week, it isn't fundamental investors who have been selling down their stocks. So it's not like corporate earnings have deteriorated. What it really is that because so many people were overexposed to equities, we're now seeing a pickup in volatility, and we're just seeing a lot of people taking some profit or a lot of momentum selling coming into the market.
What about automated selling? Are computer algorithms partly to blame for the falls as well?
Yes, so we kind of call this group systematic investors. You have people in the market now called volatility targeting investors. And because, again, volatility has been so low, they had a lot of equities on their books in their portfolio. Now we've seen a spike up in vol or volatility, and they're forced to sell. Interestingly, though, from an Asian perspective, if we look at the Hong Kong stock market, the influx or trend of mainland Chinese buying, which we've seen net buying every day since around September, well, they're continuing to buy the market.
There are various signals that a lot of stock markets were just overvalued and they were perhaps due for a correction. And so is it in a way that something has just burst the dam?
Yes. I mean, you could actually call what we're seeing somewhat of a healthy pause. Nothing goes up in a linear fashion. And we almost were in this environment where everyone just expected the markets to go up every day, every day, every day. So in fact, the correction we're seeing, again, it's not based on anything going wrong with global growth, with corporate earnings. It's just because so many people own so many equities, we're now getting to a point where something sparked a sharp sort of pickup in volatility and people are now just triggering their sell orders.
You've said this is healthy. You've said it's a correction. Is there also the possibility this could be the beginning of a crash?
I wouldn't say a crash necessarily because, again, we're not seeing anything going wrong with the fundamental economic story around the world. When we look really at, you know, the triggers of the selling, we've got getting waves. So again, early in the Asian morning time, we saw US futures up about 1%. Mid-morning, they were down 3%. After lunch, we were seeing buyers back again. So expect, or investors should expect, these waves of volatility. Again, at some point, you'll probably come in and see some bargain hunters. From a valuations perspective, the US still, you could argue, looks expensive. You still see some good returns. I mean, we've had a 9-year bull market. So perhaps other equity markets around the world could see a rotation of the sort of sentimental positive nature of owning US equities move elsewhere around the world.
It's quite a welcome, isn't it, for his first couple of days in the job for the new Federal Reserve Chairman, Jay Powell?
Yes, but we were seeing signs of the late cycle in 2017. So some people were very much preparing themselves for, an increase in vol, which is exactly where we see ourselves today.
Catherine Young, right, let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei is now down more than 10% from its recent peak. Today it fell 107 points, or 4.73%. In Europe, shares are lower, with London's FTSE 100 down 145 points, or 1.98%. Despite that, there is a sign selling pressure might ease today. In the US, the S&P futures are slightly higher. Chile has been given the largest ever donation of private land in South America, a gift from the US philanthropists Doug and Chris Tompkins. As a result, 5 new national parks have been created in Patagonia, a big boost for a nation determined to diversify away from copper and promote tourism. The BBC's Jane Chambers is there.
The great and the good are all here, standing on a windswept yellow and green plateau in Patagonia, in the southernmost part of Chile, listening to a local singer. President Bachelet has just flown in on a tiny plane and is talking to an audience of tourists and friends of Chris and Doug Tompkins, the entrepreneurs and philanthropists behind the North Face and Patagonia brands. She and her ministers are signing the documents that will make the 5 new national parks a reality.
This is the biggest conservation event of its kind in history.
Chris Tompkins managed to persuade the government to also donate land, and now the total area being converted into a network of national parks is just over 10 million acres. And this type of tourism and conservation is something the government want to invest in. When I spoke to the Undersecretary for Tourism, Javiera Montes Cruz, in her office in the centre of Santiago, she explained why.
We've got some of the most diverse landscape in the world. It's perfect for tourists looking for adventure and nature and a good glass of wine. And that's why we're trying to become a world leader in tourism.
After the ceremony, I spoke to Chris Tompkins about the future. But there are still some challenges ahead. There's always pressure from industries like the salmon farmers and hydroelectric companies who argued that the land would be more profitably used by them. And there are other problems to be considered as well.
I think the challenges for creating a really healthy national park system in any country is that they're properly funded, that the management systems are professional and the training is high quality.
And that's a big challenge ahead. Chile will have a new government in March, and conservation bodies are worried it won't invest enough in the parks. But for now, Chris and her supporters are celebrating their long-fought victory to help protect Chile for future generations.
Jane Chambers. And finally, British doctors say they want to give e-cigarettes on prescription to smokers. While the move has surprised some, doctors say the devices are an aid to quit smoking. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.